Hello, everybody, and welcome to my latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm Tony Heil, and I am a council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. And today I'm going just a little bit away from another Bridgeport in Connecticut, but the mayor of New Haven, Connecticut, Justin Elicker, who I'm very excited to talk to. If you've been following my podcast, and hopefully you can subscribe online on iTunes or whatever podcast service you're using, you know that I've spoken with people from across the country, from Maine to California, Florida to Alaska, and narrowing down the state. So there's only about 10 left where we haven't had a representative talking about their reasons for running for office. Today, I'm so excited to talk with the mayor of New Haven, Justin Elicker. Connecticut is a place that, you know, I really do appreciate and like. I went to college in Poughkeepsie, New York, and have many friends from Connecticut. One of my fondest memories is being with friends to watch wrestling, WrestleMania 20 in Connecticut. Though we're not going to talk about that because it's not really happy in retrospect. And, you know, people need to step up and run for office at all levels of government in every state. And as we've learned from other conversations, it's not a matter just about if you're a D or an R, but who the D or the R is, whether you're the Democrat or Republican or independent. It's all a matter about the people that come to run for office and the experience and ideas they bring. So thank you, Mayor Elicker, for taking time today from your busy schedule to talk on my podcast.
I'm happy to be here.
So you are the mayor of New Haven, and you are a graduate from Yale. I always talk to people about what got them involved in politics to begin with. You know, some people got involved for a personal reason. I was talking with Spencer from Portland, Maine. It was because of some local things that happened where he was surprised things hadn't gotten fixed in his town. When did you decide that politics was something of interest to you? Not just running for office, but that you became politically aware?
Probably about 10, 12 years ago, I had been frustrated with a lot of the decision-making that was going on, in particular at the national level. Mm-hmm. And had complained a lot about politicians and things just not the leadership, not just not focusing on what seemed to me the right areas to help people out in the community to address systemic issues, everything from income inequality to around climate change. And after a while, I realized that I was complaining a lot without doing anything about it, and felt like it was incumbent upon me to actually step up and do something rather than just criticize others for not doing the right thing. And so I started thinking about how I can get more involved in the community. All along I have, in pretty much every job I've had, there's been a focus on a mission or something bigger than just having a job to, you know, pay the bills. And running for office seemed like the right step. And so I first ran for alder in New Haven, which is like our town council person, mm-hmm. and was alder for 4 years, and then just decided to take the next step to run for mayor.
And, you know, where I am in Pennsylvania, there is oftentimes in our small towns, a weak mayor system. I'm on borough council and we do the things and the mayor just passes proclamations or oversees the police department. And that's nothing against the mayor. Mayor is important, et cetera. And then, of course, you have the mayor of Providence, the mayor of Philadelphia, et cetera, who do a lot legislatively and management-wise. What was it about being mayor that you thought this is where I should go to make a bigger difference?
I think that at the end of the day, and New Haven may be a little bit of a different situation than your Bridgeport, but New Haven has a pretty strong mayoral system. At the end of the day, if you really want to make a difference, I think that the executive branch has the most impact. And that's not to take anything away from legislators. Legislators can advocate to make a lot of good things happen for our community. But the executive branch it oversees the departments that actually get things done, hires the people that are the leaders in making sure that our trash gets picked up and how we can make sure the trash gets picked up in the right way, that our school mm-hmm. system runs effectively and implements changes that will improve the lives of our kids, that the city has ethical individuals that are making the right decisions based on what's best for the residents of the city rather than what's best for themselves. And the mayor has so much more influence over those decisions than individual legislators do. And so, I've always thought I want to maximize the difference I can make. And this seemed like the right step for me to take to do just that.
And it seems like mayors, like my conversation with Mayor Alorza from Providence, Rhode Island, it seems like mayors are able to step up in a lot of big ways now where there is a leadership vacuum. You mentioned climate change as something that had driven you. And I feel like politicians of our generation, and I'm just going to assume it's the same generation, have taken on that mantle as something that there needs to be less patience on. There needs to be more action right now. And, you know, is that something where you've been able to see as mayor, these are some bigger issues beyond just New Haven, where if I take this on, maybe I can make a big difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think on this issue in particular, obviously, the climate change needs to be addressed at a federal level, in a collaborative way with other countries, to have the most significant impact on the future of our Earth. But given that lack of leadership that I see at the federal level, others have to step up, and none of us are going to have nearly as much impact as we would if we were doing this in collaboration with the federal government. But that doesn't mean that we should do nothing. It means just the opposite, that we need to step up our game and do even more. That's challenging in many ways because some of the changes that we need to implement regarding climate change cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We in New Haven have put aside a certain percentage of our budget to implement climate change related measures in our capital fund to make investments that will reduce our climate impact, and have a task force that's been set up to they're working to set up to help us identify more policies that we can implement in partnership with many other cities and our state to address this issue.
Yeah, you know, the way you're talking reminds me, of course, right now about what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think we would both agree that there may be a vacuum of leadership at the top level to get some of these things done. You know, and it's a frustration because you want to do things on your end as a mayor of a city or borough like mine, or as a governor. We were just talking before this about my governor easing some restrictions. But when the federal government has some states doing one thing and other states or cities doing another thing, it kind of hurts your ability to maintain credibility and political capital to take on big projects, right?
Yeah, and this is kind of a crass way to explain it, but I've heard someone describe this situation as if someone's in the pool and goes to the bathroom, mm-hmm. everyone gets impacted, right? And that's the case with the virus, that if there is any portion of our community that is not careful, that is not coordinated in our response, then the virus spreads not only among that group, but it will spread beyond that group, and we all will be impacted by it. And so there's so much more that I believe, should be doing in collaboration with each other. And that, of course, should be led by the federal government. And that's everything from making sure that we're manufacturing more PPE and test kits to ensuring the economic viability of our communities by supporting the very cash-strapped municipalities and states to guidance. You know, I understand that some of the guidance that was going to be put out by the CDC to help support us opening up and making the right decisions has been changed mm-hmm. At the political level. And that's the last thing that we need. We need to have science-based recommendations on how to protect our community and support the opening up of our economy again. that's in the best interest of everyone in this country.
Yeah, and I know we both have young children, and so on the one hand, I have this selfish need to see my kids go to school and also see them play with friends, which they haven't been able to do and for here since the middle of March. But on the other hand, I also want them to be able to stay in school and stay with their friends and not have this rear its ugly head way too quickly. And having that back and forth where you don't know what to believe is very frustrating, both as a parent and as an elected official.
Yeah, we've really struggled in the city on what the right decision is as far as opening schools. And right now we're talking a lot about how to operate youth programs for the summer. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that we have to come up with these solutions on our own rather than do this in a way where, that there's all these individual communities throughout the entire United States that are coming together and coming up with solutions on their own based on the limited information that they have available. It's unfortunate that there's not more support at the national level for this. And there's tension around these decisions, right? So as we slowly open up, people will need to go back to work and they'll need childcare. And so for us to operate youth programs, that can help support people economically by allowing them to go back to work so that they don't have to be at home to watch their children. But at the same time, there is some risk to us doing that in potentially exacerbating the situation from a health perspective. And so, we're really struggling through those decisions.
And the way, looking into your background, talking to Jacob, who was a mutual friend of ours running in Wisconsin, he's probably a better friend of yours than mine because I've had him talk to him once. But I see you have a very accomplished background with Foreign Service, doing other things in service and with the government for years before this. It seems like right now in particular, more than ever in our lifetimes, it's important for people with experience. And doesn't just mean government experience. It just means, management, taking things seriously. The best people possible need to step up to fill those vacuums, right?
Yeah, I think that it takes all kinds of people to help put us in the right direction and lead. And the most important thing is an ethical compass. Mm-hmm. People that are making the right decisions, not based on their own self-interest, but based on what's in the best interest of the community. And that's not always easy to find in politics. The second area is, I think that, I have been very fortunate to have had a lot of good opportunities in life. But I am not an expert on homelessness. I'm not an expert on youth. I'm not an mm-hmm. expert on even the mechanics of how to run a public works department. So what's important is someone that's able to choose the right people to hire to get the job done and has the understanding that their position is not the most important. It's the people that they surround themselves with that is the most important, because those individuals are going to actually be able to implement the work to help support residents who in New Haven, many are really struggling to get by, and there's a lot more that City Hall can be doing to help them out.
Yeah, it does. And that's important because it's not just the resume experience, it's the breadth of experience, different kind of experiences we need to be representative, more so than just one kind of representation, whether it's age or gender or race, but making sure that there are different viewpoints that are backed up by years of work showing that. I think that we're missing that in a lot of places right now.
Exactly. There's been, I think that it's been fortunate there's been a lot of talk about getting more people of all different backgrounds in leadership positions. Because if there's people that bring their own lived experience and wisdom to the table, they might, or they will give you ideas that you hadn't thought about. They'll bring you a different perspective that pushes back on some of our previous thoughts on how the world runs and can get us at the end to a better result, which is obviously what the goal should be.
So I see why you ran for office and some of the challenges now, especially with this particular issue. This was not what you were expecting to do, of course.
You're talking about COVID or running for mayor?
Well, COVID. You expected to run for mayor because you made that choice. But, you know, when you were running, though, when you were thinking about becoming mayor and then in that process, what were some of the biggest challenges to doing that and some of the solutions that maybe other people thinking of running can look at and say, oh, you know, maybe I can overcome those challenges in my own life?
You know, specific to getting elected and running a campaign, there's a lot of challenges. It's understanding the policy so that you actually have a solid philosophy that's based in some facts and information and some research. You have that information to be able to respond to first of all, to develop a vision of how you think the problems that we face can be addressed. But second, to be able to respond to people who have specific questions about what policy initiatives you're going to implement. And I think a lot of times we talk in sound bites that don't always go to the core of the issue of how to address these challenges. And when we talk in sound bites, it gets back to what the public generally expects a politician to do. And I think the public is much wiser and smarter and more capable than that. And while it's important to think about messaging, it's also very, very important to make sure that you have good answers to how you think we can honestly and effectively address the problem, particularly given limited resources. And then there's the nuts and bolts of how to effectively run a campaign, right? It's everything from making sure that you have the ability to raise some funds to pay for lawn signs and some campaign staff, depending on the size of the race, to just walk in, pound in the pavement, and doing lots of door-to-door yourself. That always means a lot to people when they talk with the candidate themselves. But it also is an opportunity for us to educate ourselves about what the community cares about and really connect with people directly, which I think is core to the job.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you said there about understanding the issues, I think is something very important and maybe something we don't see enough from, you know, some big people who've run for office, where they think that their ego or their personality is enough to carry them through, and sometimes is. One thing I've noticed in talking with so many people across the country and in my own experience is in politics, building allies and having the ability to ask questions that maybe you're unsure if you should ask that in public, but you can ask, you know, this new friend you've made or this new neighbor means a lot to make it so you can put forth successful policy, right?
Yeah, I think it's good to find, in any profession, it's good to find mentors. It's good to find people you trust to help guide you to make the right decisions, to be able to confide in, to share their wisdom. And elected office is no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've had so many experiences myself where I want to ask a question and I think, I don't want to say this out loud now, but I'll call my friend who's a state rep. I'll call my friend who works for the Senate office and they can answer it. And then I don't sound ignorant because we all are ignorant at some level about different things.
Right. I also think it's okay to publicly say, I don't know, but I'm going to get you the answer.
Yeah.
I think the important part is but I'm going to get you an answer, and then following up and actually getting the person's phone number or whatever and finding the answer. I think that the public doesn't expect us to know everything. And if we're more direct and honest about that, then the public will understand that we're humans, right?
So there's thousands of mayors across the whole country. And also, you know, in addition to mayor, city council members, what are some of the issues you think that would be helpful for people thinking about becoming mayors? or who are mayor now, to see as a potential for what they can do. That you talked about climate change and economic inequality, and I appreciate that. Are there things, especially right now, where you're like, mayors really have an opportunity to take leadership?
You know, I think that the income inequality question is huge. Mm-hmm. And that's something we're seeing around the nation, right? In every state we have, the gap between the haves and have-nots gets bigger and bigger. And there's a real opportunity for us all to collaborate to start to address that systemic problem, and push the states and federal government to do the same. In New Haven, we have a median household income around $36,000, and that is way lower than the state average. And COVID has, I think, exposed that income inequality in a way that many people hadn't seen before. In the lines of people waiting for food, in the requests for or applications for unemployment, in the number of people, much higher percentage of individuals in the Black and Brown communities, not only contracting more cases, but being hospitalized and dying because of this crisis. And this, my hope is that this will not just be seen as a crisis, but be seen as an opportunity for us to really start to delve deeper into how we address some of this income inequality. I think there's a lot of leadership that mayors can take to really push the envelope on what's possible regarding income inequality.
Yeah, and it's an ability for mayors to work together. You guys aren't necessarily always in competition, whether it's in Connecticut or without, right?
Yeah, agreed. So we have a weekly call with the mayors of other big cities in Connecticut. And it's been hugely helpful, not only to build that relationship, so I always know I can pick up the phone and, you know, work through a problem with another mayor, but also because we're sharing expertise and coming up with some of our own collaborative initiatives that we can either present to the governor to get that kind of support or do on our own if need be.
And, you know, I mentioned this when we first started talking. My wife lives in Rhode Island, so we go through Connecticut every few months when we go visit family. But Connecticut is more diverse and interesting than a lot of people realize, whether it's with history or the different communities. What do you think people who are listening who aren't from Connecticut, what should they know about places like New Haven or the whole state that maybe they don't realize?
You know, it's funny because I grew up, I didn't grow up in New Haven. And I remember when I grew up, the news media oftentimes focuses on the negative stories, mm-hmm. And, you know, things like crime. In reality, New Haven comparatively doesn't have a lot of crime and is such an incredible community. It's so livable. I know a lot of people that have come to this city saying, I have to go to New Haven, I'm going to Yale University, or I'm going to, there's a number of other universities in the city. And then after they're here for a few months, they realize, wow, this is a great place to live. Mm-hmm. And many people are settling here now. Our population is growing. There's baby boomers that are moving back to the cities because of the walkable lifestyle, because there's a bodega or a corner store down the street, because it's a small city with big city attributes of access to the arts and culture. So New Haven is just such a great place to live. And I think that it's not just me as mayor that thinks that, but that's a story that the vast majority of New Haven residents would tell you. There's a lot of converts that came here planning to stay for a few years and have been here 20, 30 years already.
Yeah, I have only been in New Haven a few times, but I had friends who lived around there. And one time I remember my car breaking down, so having to stay. And, you know, you don't think about it when you're driving through, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who go from, you know, south, from New York or south to Boston and or somewhere in between. And yeah, it's a nice place to be, and lots of things aren't too far.
Yeah, stop on in and have a meal. We have an incredible list of really incredible restaurants. So that's how we'll catch you at first. And then once you have your meal, you'll start to look around and say, wow, maybe I'll relocate to New Haven.
Well, if there's anything I'm looking forward to right now, aside from my kids going to school, it is going to a restaurant. I get to take out. I'm tired of.
Yeah, we might have to wait a little bit longer, but we'll see.
So the podcast is called You Should Run. And the reason I did this is, and a few years ago, was encouraging people to vote and then realized a lot of elections, there were just not, there was either no one on the ballot or there was someone who was just a name. And so people would win, you know, 80-20, or someone would even get a lot of votes and they shouldn't have, right? Like they just got a lot of votes because they were the Democrat or Republican. Why, what are the reasons you think right now that people should stand up and run for any office, including mayor? Not against you, of course, but just in general.
No, they should run against me if their heart's in it.
And if they're in New Haven.
And they live in New Haven. I just think there's so much opportunity for, particularly now, given the political dialogue that's going on in the U.S., there's so much opportunity. The public is yearning. People are yearning for individuals to step up and run who want to do the right thing, that are making choices that are not focused on themselves, that aren't afraid to speak out when they see injustices. And there's a lot of people that want, just in general, new faces and new ideas and a new approach to politics. Mm-hmm. So the time is ripe, and the people are out there. I know so many people that keep thinking about it. You do have to take a step, and it takes a moment of a leap of faith when you first announce you're running. But in the end, it's worth it, and you can make a real difference.
Yeah, and I think you can especially make a real difference in positions like mayor, like city council, because, you know, you mentioned trash. It sounds like a small thing, but when you can run that effectively, you're directly impacting people's lives for the better.
Exactly, on a day-to-day basis. I mean, even little things like, you know, fixing a sidewalk. Well, someone every day walks over that sidewalk and trips. Mm-hmm. And so there's these small things that you can impact in someone's life. But then there's bigger things too, like the work we're doing with responding to COVID-19, of providing food to the community, making sure that a young person has a Chromebook so that they can log on to online learning. Mm-hmm. Those things are big impacts on someone's ability to succeed in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then I think people are hungry for competent leadership, and races, offices like mayor, like city council, are a way for people to demonstrate the competency if they want to do anything else in life. In
office. Agreed.
So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And good luck to you with the COVID stuff and just regular work you're doing. If people are interested in learning more about New Haven and learning more about you, what should they do? Where can they find out more about?
They can always Google the website, City of New Haven, and they'll find lots of information about New Haven. Or if they come into town, look me up.
Definitely look them up. Thank you so much, Justin, and good luck to you. If you're listening to this, and I hope you are, please share, let people know about it. And when you're driving through, get a slice of pizza in New Haven. It's kind of famous for, I think, a little places there. And if you're listening, maybe you should run for office as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.